Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finally, they might.
So now you're actually crossing your fingers that a big branch is going to fall on me and kill me.
Yeah. Because then we'll have it recorded for posterity.
Yep.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Mr. Newbie. Before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Jim and Tracy bird watching. Well, Jim was bird watching, Tracy was just twittering about Jazza and his inability to write things down in a little book, while commending Jimus for writing things down in a little book. She's very keen on little books, Tracy, isn't she? Like a one-woman Ryman's. Despite abandoning rewilderating to go to Scotland to put seaweed in a Paw Patrol bucket, Phoebe still felt qualified to tell Rex that he was putting all his saplings in on the wonk. Once she'd pissed him off, she thought that was the ideal time to tell him that she was handing him all the responsibility for a load of angry cows, a campsite, 30 acres of nettles, and a tent full of poo. Peggy, ever realistically supportive, pointed out that Kate would be a horrendous person to take over rewilderating, but Kate has always blinded her with words that were not really words. In an unusual move, Kate sent her non-Agedarian grandmother to do her job interview instead of her. Tell me about a time when you feel you made a mistake and learned from it. Well, there was that time in the Boer War, dear. It's quite difficult to establish what Rex's thoughts are. He's sort of a human mirror. He doesn't actually say anything proactively. He just reflects back what the other person has just said, like a totally untrained counsellor, which makes him a hugely frustrating person to talk to. I had a bad day yesterday, Rex. Oh, you had a bad day, did you, Alice? Why not ask Kirsty about the job, Rex? Why not ask Kirsty? No wonder he moves hedges for a living. But talking of Kirsty, I was very confused why he would just wait for her to find out about the job for the Wildlife Trust rather than just walking across the green and telling her, ringing her. Brian has generously offered Chris the opportunity to stay in one of the holiday cottages. Not the vest, as Alice will remain there, but either the grommet or the rockery. He had a discussion about it with Neil and they both kept talking about those steps outside the shop as if they'd been liberally sprinkled with landmines and that Chris and Martha were having to negotiate them in a flat jacket under sniper fire. So now they get to live next door to Mummy and spy on her, which will be lovely for everyone. Brian cannot quite believe that Chris is not going to sit on his lap and help himself to the contents of his wallet, as he has never come across someone who does not exploit awful situations for financial gain. Rest assured, Brian, Alistair's solicitor isn't going to be urging her towards forking everything over to Chris, as she appears to be 11, so I think you're fine on that count. Well, I listened to the social night at the Bull, and to be honest, I have many questions. A, surely Jimus would have already found Carol Treboggan. When not off a box on one of her special herbal creations, she would seem to be the only person in the village who may once have read a proper book. Jennifer would have got through the first chapter of every Booker Prize winner, but no further, and listened to front row so she could talk about it at dinner parties. Lynn doesn't really read books. She just works out how to adapt them into vehicles with which she can bore the entire village into tears of frustration. Alistair would probably read Andy McNab and fantasise about garrotting Shula with a rubber glove, and David would have everything Jeremy Clarkson's ghostwriter has ever written. But I digress. Social night. Why would Alice, who got scared off crossing the green because of Sabrina Thwaite and had to ask Amy to chase her away snapping at her ankles, then go to an event where she had to share intimate personal things with all the people she'd been trying to avoid for the last 6 months? Get us started on most embarrassing moments, and she would keep going for 2 days, not 2 minutes. Strangely, she seems to have been afflicted with a sort of total amnesia about ever having been a drunk. And the one embarrassing moment she did want to talk about was a hilarious occasion on which Chris got rat-arsed and threw up over the cribbage board. But of her own tree-climbing, brick-heaving and baby-dropping, not a squeak. Kate wasn't interested in going, as faced with a choice between Kate and talking about horse farts, Jacob understandably plumped for Windy Neddy. Tracy and Chelsea are sleeping at Green Knackers. Chelsea is sleeping on the piano. Alistair's bunking up with Jazza and Tracy. And Jimus is sleeping the sleep of the just. Chelsea and Jimus got on like a house on fire. Jimus is now addicted to Real Housewives of North Worcestershire and has had a chemical peel on his scrotum. In typical Krusty fashion, i.e. with absolutely no thought given whatsoever, she has decided, with all her training in counting trees and flip-flop overseeing, to go manage a hotel in Plovdiv. Plovdiv. So stand by for a husky voice Liverpudlian to appear on Coronation Street any day now. She can dig up all the cobbles and plant beech trees instead. Don't go, Krusty. You might be all happy and relaxed and you'd hate it. And anyway, we need more single people we can pair up. Because as it is, we've only got Alice, Chris, Amy, Jimus, Rex, Toby, Pip, Josh, Freddie, Roy. Blimey. The end. I didn't realise there were so many singletons in Ambridge.
There are so many singletons, which is why when Jim was like, oh, I'll never find love again, you're like, well,
you're in
you
the right
should have
place.
Been at the book. There are millions of them. Like, just loads. It's a one-town dating agency there.
Why don't they all get together more often then? Because when you think about it in those terms, that there's all these single women and all these single men, I mean, most of them are straight.
Basically, a speed dating night would have been the perfect Valentine's night for the bull.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally don't know what they were talking about when they were like, oh, it's just not going to work, is it? It would have been perfect. It was a speed dating night anyway,
except
really.
Not so interesting.
Oh my God, Rex is the most boring man in the whole world, isn't he?
Aww.
But he is. Even when Amy and him were talking, you know, on the non-speed dating night, they were both, they are a perfect match in that they are both sort of devoid of personality.
Just for our Americano listeners, on the coffee theme, just to let you know, we are in the middle of a hurricane as we record.
Yes.
Where Harriet is slightly less exciting than where I am. Where I am, things are flying past the window, like garden chairs, small dogs, children, etc.
How many kids have you seen? Have you seen that wheelie bin clip? Have you seen the clip of the wheelie bins?
No.
Going hundreds of feet up into the air.
Oh, God.
Honestly, there's loads of footage from yesterday. They are, I'm not joking, it looks like they're witches flying in the sky, but they're wheelie bins.
Wow.
It's
wheelie bin
witches. Incredible. All I've been doing this morning is watching videos on Storm Eugene.
Yes, Eunice.
And Eunice, that's the one. Nice. Have you seen that Bruce Forsyth
yes.
thing
and
as well?
Also, I like the man describing the jets failing to land when they they come in and then they have to go off again.
Oh, I was saying to my sister-in-law, I would have been vomiting.
Yeah.
I couldn't have coped with that.
No.
That's too scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I would have paid very, very good money not to be.
You are in the eye of the storm.
Yes.
But I am in basically a corner of a room, and my mic is in a suitcase. I can't even describe the setup I am, because I'm very makeshift, and the thing is the microphone is so low down that I'm on a tiny chair, but I'm gonna really hurt my back. I'm squatting over it.
Harriet, move it. You can't record like that.
I can for the sake of our listeners, Lucy. I'm sacrificing my back. But I sort of feel well hidden and away from children and as
okay,
well. So
yes,
it's quite
okay.
Cosy.
You could put a blanket.
But it's
on
nice. It's all like I'm sort of recording out of a vintage suitcase. I wish you could see my setup. It's quite cute. It's like I feel like I'm in the Renaissance and I'm talking to BBC London. Hello, hello. Lucia, you're receiving.
The Resistance, not the Renaissance.
Oh, that's the one.
Oh dear, this week is sponsored by Mrs. Malaprop, clearly.
I'm painting a Giotto.
Yes, there's the art history student. I was thinking, talking about the Renaissance. Yes.
I'll put it on, if we had an Instagram feed, I'd put a photo of this on my Instagram pages.
Twitter takes photographs.
Yes, it does, actually. I'll put it on that then.
Yes,
it's quite a cute little
your
setup.
Vintage setup. Yes.
When we do the emails, I'm just going to sit back and recover my back.
Yes,
but
good.
Back to
Do a bit of yoga stretching and things.
Because basically nothing happened this week, did it? Except for Kirsty's bombshell.
Yes.
which I'm just taking with a massive pinch of salt.
Because I messaged you and said, is she leaving? And then just now you said no. So you've reassured me now.
Then I got slightly worried because I thought there's no way they would ask her to leave. No way. Why would they? She's one of the most fantastic characters. But then, I only know this from her Instagram feed. She's been in Florence this week. Maybe she's filming something there.
Or it's
unless
she's
just gone on holiday. Oh, yeah, that's the one. Oh, yeah, it's half term. Yeah, gone on holiday. Fair enough.
You know, we laugh at conspiracy theorists. We are the biggest pair of conspiracy theorists I know.
Well, what is life without a conspiracy theory, Lucy?
The Archers without a conspiracy.
What
definitely.
Is the Archers? No, I think what's going to happen is she is going to go to Bulgaria and she's going to... And I think hopefully Lexi will be reintroduced somehow. Kate's going to take over the rewilding and it's all going to go wrong, obviously. And then Kirsty's going to come back and have to save the day. Except that if I was Kirsty, I would have been so offended that Rex was basically like, oh, it's funny because like we just didn't really think of you till now. Phoebe told me like a week ago she's leaving and we were just like, you know, scratching our heads. We couldn't. And then someone was like, maybe
Peggy
Kirsty.
Woolley, could she do it? You know,
they were
Neville
so rude
Booth.
To her. Exactly. We've been through like, and then Phoebe was like, yeah, and I never thought you'd leave Ambridge.
Yeah.
Like, oh my
sack.
God.
Yeah.
I'd have given her a big slap for that. I thought they were so bloody rude to Kirsty. I'd have been like, no way am I touching this stuff. Let me get back to me counting of the trees for free. Also, it is a bit like, because Rex was like, oh, we just couldn't think of anyone else. Because to be honest, no one else would take the pay so bad.
Yeah.
We just couldn't think of anyone else. It's $6.75 an hour. Yeah,
you
do all this for free anyway.
Yeah, you're flopping around the village with bugger all to do. Yeah. Because apart from dwelling on the continuing catastrophe that forms your life.
But he's so thick. Like, how to go exactly what you said in your monologue, to go, oh, well, no, I expect she'll hear about it and then she'll apply. Oh my God, Rex. Obviously, about two people are going to apply to this job anyway.
Yes.
Like, where have you put the advert for a start? You know, have you got like Reed to sort of do a recruitment for you or something? I don't think so. See, he's obviously just put a scribbly note in the village shop.
And in the Wildlife Trust.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Wildlife Trust.
Yeah.
And then, why wouldn't you immediately...
Phoebe lives with
Kirsty. She lives with her. You would have thought Phoebe might have mentioned it to Kirsty even, that she's leaving.
I know.
It's mad. They're just such a bunch of wallies.
Well, because this is... I don't think it's going to happen because we've had no preamble, anything. It's just ridiculous. And also, I know I am probably
talking out my...
What, you
don't think... But Phoebe is going to leave.
Oh, yeah, she will. Thank you very much, William.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. They can't have Phoebe leave and Kirsty leave. I think Kirsty leaving is a massive red herring.
Yes, me too. Plus, also, and I know I don't know what I'm talking about here, and lots of people will... Thank you very much, Will. Lots of people will no doubt message me and tell me I'm talking out of my bottom. But...
Yeah.
She's going to Bulgaria to manage a hotel. She speaks no Bulgarian whatsoever. And since Brexit, it's a lot harder to get jobs in foreign countries.
When was the last time she managed a hotel? She only hands out towels, doesn't she?
Yep.
So she's got experience doing flip-flop sorting and...
Yeah, she's got an NVQ in flip-flops and she can count. That's it, I think. So you can count flip-flops and trees. So that counts as transferable skills.
And when did she go for her interview?
Yes.
There.
Yes.
To look round the hotel.
Yes.
It's just silly, isn't it?
Well, I love the attitude to recruitment. It's like... It's not even nepotism. It's just insane. It's like the 1950s. Because first of all, she's got this job entirely because Lexi... said, oh, you might like this. Let's do this. Okay, I can do the job. It's fine. It's all done. And then Rex is going, oh, well, you've got to pretend to do an application and everything. And we'll pretend to look at it. And you think, no, these are actual proper laws. It's not just a bit of a joke.
But also, Rex, like, 1 minute ago, you you hadn't even thought of Kirsty for the job.
Yeah.
The next, you haven't even bothered asking her what she might bring. As far as we know, she's really good at counting trees and she likes nature.
Yes.
But, I mean, presumably there is some sort of skill involved in running a, whatever they are running, some skanky old compost toilets.
Well, that's
at least
thing.
Sort of say, what experience do you have in compost toileting?
But from the other perspective, Harriet, you see, they can't define what the job is because there isn't a job. They don't know what it is.
What is it?
I don't
know. Is it what I can't work out? Is it one field or is it a massive piece of? How big is it? I mean, like...
But that's why that made me laugh so much yesterday when he said, it's quite deceptive. It's bigger than you think, the rewild. And then I thought, yes, that's because you need it to be able to stretch from anything between 2 hectares to 142 hectares, depending on the storyline and what you're talking about.
I thought, give Kate the job immediately because she's actually suggesting that they make money from it.
Like, yes.
How else do you keep it up otherwise?
And then he just went, oh, well, we're supposed to be like blending into the landscape. We're not. Yeah. But how are you going to fund anything?
I think you'll find, Kate, that nobody needs a path when they're wearing their wellies, actually. I've put enough wood chip down to last at least the next 3 months, so...
But honestly, two completely mad families camping in July at about 12 quid a night is not going to keep all that going. But I mean, is it? Because is there anything there?
No. I mean, surely who's... Well, the storm is going to pay for the camping
tonight. What
are Rex and
Phoebe being paid for?
But where's the... So the money... Is the money still coming out of the trust
to
pay them?
Yes, Peggy.
What a bloody, like, jolly, jammy job that is.
I know.
Then. You just go and walk around, spray it, chuck a few wood chips down.
Yep.
Cuddle a few rabbits and you're paid £9 an hour.
Yep.
That is a swizz. I'd apply for that job. But again, they were like, who else lives in Ambridge that we can ask? Because we can only recruit people in...
Because Amy hasn't got a job, has she?
Oh, they didn't think about Amy, but now Rex is going to go
out with Amy.
They didn't
think about anybody. They didn't think about the world's most obvious candidate, even though the rest of us were shouting.
Oh, so annoying. But I like the fact that, to be honest, I really want Kate to come and ruin it. Not ruin it, because actually I think the thing is,
you can't
to
ruin
give
something
Kate
that's
her
not
due,
there.
She might be an annoying person, but Spiritual Homes is still presumably a business that's you know, earning its dues. And to do
is
that,
it,
you have to be... Well, it's still there, isn't it? And she still has you know, people coming for a massage.
Well, for the last 2 years, she was running a yoga club. Was she? Or did we make that up for Ambridge on the Couch?
It all blurs into one, Lucy. Mm. I've actually got no idea.
Okay.
No, because during lockdown, she wouldn't have had anyone.
Oh, no. She was. Was it because she was doing lockdown yoga?
Right, okay.
Because Jakob
Oh,
was,
yeah, she yeah, was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all she's been doing for 2 years. How the hell is...
But she brought some ideas to Rex, and Rex didn't ask her, except for, and what are you going to bring to this... If I got you the job tomorrow, what would you do?
Yeah.
But he didn't actually ask her any valid questions.
No.
To sort of test her knowledge of how she might contribute to
business.
Well,
no, because they don't do anything properly in Ambridge. There is never any proper interviewing. There is never any proper, you know...
And also, what does Phoebe do that he can't not do without her? Why are they so busy?
She does so much. How? Yeah. I can't think of anybody that could do it. And we're all going, do we what?
Do what? The only job we've ever heard them do is empty the compost toilets.
Yeah.
And that's literally all they've done.
So she's just swapping a bucket full of poo for a bucket full of seaweed.
And they sound so disgusting. There's no way I would ever camp there. I mean, if Kate's like, oh, that is disgusting. Then, sorry, Rex, but I was glad. I'm glad she humiliated him in that way.
I loved it, though, when she said, so, what did you think?
Yeah,
have I got the job?
Yeah. Have I got the job?
And even Peggy was kind of... Yes, even Peggy was kind
give
of like...
Give him a chance. But give her the job. Just do it, Rex.
Please,
get
Rex,
her out of my hair.
Exactly. Just shut her up.
I don't want her in the house so often. Oh, Gran, now we're sounding alike as well. Oh, I know.
I just don't
I can't
know.
Do an impression of Peggy when I'm sat like this. Hunched shoulders.
Surely that's ideal for doing Peggy with a sort of a
oh, I suppose.
Hunched back and a collapsed neck.
Very good, dear. Very good, dear. Very good, dear. So proud of you, dear. Very good. That's the only way I can get into her. Very
but
good.
My God, I mean, Kate is... Peggy just seems to suspend disbelief when it comes to Kate, doesn't she?
No, but
she
I think
so
that...
easily suckered into all
I
that
I don't know,
bollocks.
But I was with Peggy, to be honest. I thought Kate was very sounded so confident about it. Mm. And she has run Spiritual Home and it's still going. And Rewilding is just Spiritual Home but with longer grass. So why shouldn't she have a crack at it?
But what Kate's talking about isn't rewilding. Kate's just trying to extend Spiritual Hummus, isn't she? She's just trying to sort of...
But while keeping the grass long, which rewilding is just letting it all be, isn't it? So if you're just going to let it be, then you don't really have to do anything, do you? Except make sure that you've got enough money to, I don't know, make sure you've got enough money to...
Pay your daughter phenomenal amounts of money for...
Count butterflies. Mm. You just need to count butterflies and count droppings and stuff, don't you? Mm.
So
maybe we should. Well, anyway.
In conclusion,
give Kate the job.
Give Kate the job. Kate will sod it up.
Yeah.
Kirsty will come back.
Kirsty will come to the rescue. Or yes. Kirsty is about to go,
and then realizes she's in love with Roy and doesn't go.
Yes. That was my other conclusion. Was you know there's this, and then at the airport there's a big sort of like. Kirsty, how could you leave me? Or, this is probably a bit outlandish, she gets pregnant.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Do you think that's too close to the bone?
Yeah. It's just too close to everything else happening.
Okay, all right, well, fair enough. So there'll either be a showdown at the airport where Roy or slash Rex slash somebody, what's the word? You know,
well, it won't be Rex.
I'm dying love. Might be.
Tom?
He's dumped Amy by then. No, Tom's not a tog, as if.
But
Tom's not going to dump Natasha and then realise the error of his way. They wouldn't have had all that lovely closure with...
No, that's true. That's a bit Hollyoaks, isn't it? But
if she leaves, I'm going to be gutted.
That's another one of your voices gone. At least you can't
do
Phoebe, that's all right.
I know, it'll be terrible. I mean, that's the thing, like Ruth or Kirsty, they're the worst voices to leave the show. But I feel like there was an occasion... Oh, no, there was, but... After Kirsty didn't get married, then she left for a while, didn't she? She went back home.
Yes.
So she wasn't in it for a good 6 months or so.
Yeah.
So it could be another sort of sabbatical that she's doing.
Oh.
Well, let's watch this space, Lucy.
I don't think it was dramatic enough. I think
if Kirsty
left, it would be a da-da-da moment, not a, I forgot to tell you,
If she was leaving the series for good, if they were writing her out, there would be a big drama, wouldn't
there?
They wouldn't just say she's going to Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Whereas this might just be a little holiday or...
She'd be backed over by a tractor driven by the ghost of John or something like that. Not just leaving to go help flip-flops in Plovdiv.
She'd have been in the car with Ruth and David and the deer.
Yeah. What is Bulgarian for flip-flop?
Kirsty, it is so lovely to see you. I am Alexi. No, I loved Lexi. I wish they'd bring Lexi back.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe she will come back with Kirsty.
Yeah.
They'll do a swap for a bit.
I'm still stunned at all those single people.
And actually, to be honest, there's enough single guys as well.
Yeah, because I was thinking, are they getting rid of her to balance it out somehow?
Well, it's not Love Island, Lucy. It's not like they don't need to do that
for the drama
to continue.
What the hell was the programme that Jim was watching?
Embarrassingly, I don't know.
Oh.
I know.
But
I feel like it was
popular culture.
Oh, I know, but I've just taken my eye off the ball. Only watch, I just don't watch all that stuff anymore. I mean, I watched Love Island, but it wasn't Love Island. I think it was Jen from,
Rosie Porter.
Yeah. She said, what did she say? It was Bachelor something or other. Let's have a look. I'm sure she said something, told us what it was. But there's so many millions of thousands of them. I don't think it was one particularly.
Why were they in a casino?
What? Oh, yeah. No, that... Okay, so that's what I didn't understand. That's what
was
made
it
me
a
go...
pretend show? They made one up?
Yeah, I think they...
Oh, it's like an amalgam of all the others. Mixed them
I
up
think
together.
So.
Ah,
yeah,
gotcha.
I think
okay.
so. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, was it Jen or was it Rosie? Who was it? Somebody tweeted us, Lucy. Oh, no, it was Jen. I'm not sure. Could be The Bachelor. Could be The Bachelor. Okay. No, it's not Love Island, definitely. Okay. I don't know what The Bachelor is.
Okay.
But I think it was just an amalgamation. And I really enjoyed it because I love anything that Jim and I love, you know, I like all that sort of, Pygmalion type stuff.
Yeah,
But I felt like we'd sort of been there with Tracy and Jim and Jazza and Jim. And it's getting a bit old hat, isn't it? That it's, you know, a bit predictable.
Yeah.
But of course it was very sweet and enjoyable. But sometimes I think with Chelsea, they go a bit, I just think with that character, they just need to be careful with some of her youth. Sometimes she sounds like she's five.
Yeah.
Whereas
Absolutely.
We know she's not. We know she's actually
she's
quite
bright.
And she's
also quite cynical and world weary, and she's not that sort of...
And again,
I
suppose...
She's not that naive, and she's not that... Not, I mean, she's nice, but she's not...
Well, I think they need to work out what she... I think the trouble is, she swings from being sort of sensitive and having empathy and being, you know, kind, to being a sort of, like, bit really babyish. And I suppose that's fine, because that's just her age, isn't it, and her character. But sometimes
but yesterday
I feel like...
she sounded 11 when she was watching that show
exactly.
with Jim. She was 11.
Yeah, maybe they just need to tone it down ever so slightly.
I think they're so surprised that they've actually managed to find somebody who sounds so much like Tracy. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
And she is...
That they're like, doesn't matter, what's she going to say? Doesn't matter, just give her anything to say.
Give her free reign.
She sounds really like Tracy.
And she is very likable and very funny.
Yeah.
And so is Tracy, you know, but we've been there. We've done this.
Yeah. Move on.
It was good. Yeah. It was good, though. Nice that Jim has now got all that family in his own family.
And I also liked Jazza telling her off and telling her not to be an ungrateful cow as well.
Yeah, yeah. Fair dues.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did she say, though? She said a word. I didn't understand it because I'm not 19. But she said something like, oh, don't be such a scabbard or something. And I didn't understand that word.
Because
I'm not
no
a youth.
Idea.
Don't know. I couldn't listen. It's because it's half term. It's been half term this week, so I've had very little time for the Archers, Lucy. Very little time.
Well, in between half term and the hurricane, I think we're doing very well to have got this show out at all.
Honestly, it was a close thing this week. I felt like last night when we didn't record.
Yes,
I did sort of think, I wonder if we're going to manage it.
There was an incident last night, ladies and gentlemen, that involved somebody suddenly realising at the last minute that their house was entirely uninsured.
Oh my God, don't. So yeah, but our house has been uninsured for about 5 days, and then luckily the storm made its presence felt, and I thought, oh shit, I better get insured now. Wouldn't that be awful? It's because my insurance doesn't automatically roll over because, you know, because I need to pay
boring.
Extra.
Who's got room in
it's,
their head?
Honestly, it's half term. When have I had time to insure the house?
Yes, I know.
Anyway, in the end, it took me 5 minutes this morning to do it. 5 minutes is all it took. Mm. Do you know who I went with?
No.
Sheila's Wheels.
No.
Yeah.
It's a caravan.
I saw them and I know, but do you remember that brilliant advert they had?
Oh, yes.
I can't remember the advert, actually. But I hadn't seen their name for so long. And I was like, nostalgia's sake, I'll go with them. I've got got a 14-day cooling off period.
Regardless of what the premium is and what the terms are and everything. I remember your adverts. I'll go with you.
All of them had almost the same price. So I just went on the sign.
They were pink.
No, they used to have a really good advert, but I can't remember the strap line. It was quite clever. Anyway, whatevs. I was just pleased to see they're still going, Lucy.
Well,
of course they're an insurance company.
House is insured. Because very nearly had a sleepless night about that.
I love the fact that basically I was so tired I just couldn't even do it last night. But you and Mr. Newby found out as well, didn't he? Yeah. Both of you basically had a sleepless night about the fact that I hadn't insured my own accommodation. Whereas I just had a really good night's sleep. Thought I'd do it in the morning.
Woke up fresh as a daisy. No roof on the house.
Rufus doesn't know any of this.
Okay, we
so
won't
please
tell
don't tell him any. Oh my! Can you imagine,
ladies and gentlemen? If he,
do not tell the
Rufus.
Husband.
No.
Because no. I pretend I'm really across all this sort of stuff.
As a anyway, BAFTA award winner, right there.
Anyway, back to the old Archers. What else
did
happened?
You see what, am I imagining it, or did you see what I mean about Rex just reflecting back what the last person said to him?
Completely. That made total
he
sense
he doesn't
to me.
Say anything.
But that's what I
apart
mean
from
like
when
being
he lost
boring,
his shit,
Lucy.
When they told him he had to leave the girl.
Yeah,
leave
he,
the
well, when he gets
place.
Angry. But he's bland, isn't he? He's bland. But that's what I mean. When he was in the pub on the non-speed dating thing, he bored Amy. Like, he was, like, telling some hilarious story, wasn't he? I can barely remember. But it was like, it wasn't a stream of consciousness, but it was like,
she was just going on about somebody's chameleons or geckos or something. And he said, I promise I won't mention my...
Oh, something really awkward. But it wasn't even awkward.
But do you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of David, which is why I think he's going to end up marrying Pip. And he'll like take over the... There's a child screaming in the background.
It's Rex. No, there's like 10 children downstairs, so one of them will sort him out, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the good thing about the storm is the cousins who had their half term next week got the day off today.
Yay!
So all the cousins can play, which is good.
Hello. Yes.
Yes, sorry everybody, just pretend you can't hear that in the background. They're watching something. He's solid, dependable and boring.
Yes, and sort of really likes humour but not quite sure how to do it.
Yes.
Yes.
But he doesn't pretend to be funny.
No.
He's basically like, do you remember when Bert's son came?
Yes, Trevor.
And Rex was like, God, he's boring. But Rex sort of couldn't believe. But he sort of admired him, didn't he? Because he was like, actually, I sort of connect to this guy.
He was boring and he didn't care. Do you or do you not think, oh my God, my greenhouse has just blown over.
I can hear your wind. I mean, beg your pardon.
I know. That's not... Oh, my greenhouse has blown
milk.
Over.
No, Lucy, how can a greenhouse blow over?
It's
glass?
It's not glass, it's plastic.
Is it a polytunnel?
Sort of. Well, it's not now.
Oh, my God. Is it gone?
Well, it's tipped up.
Have you brought your wheelie bin in?
No. Yes. Oh, dear.
Where's Cooper? Have you brought Cooper in?
Cooper's in, yeah.
Phew. Because otherwise it would be like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Hang on, I'm just going to message William... And there you go, folks. This is a hurricane drama in real time.
What, they need a good old hurricane in Ambridge, don't they?
Yes. I'm just going to say, William, can you... William, greenhouse can blown you? Over, please fix.
William...
stop.
First, William, coffee. Stop. Yeah. William, greenhouse blown over, please fix. William, bricks falling, please... William, get up on roof, chimney... About
William, oak tree
topple.
Come through ceiling, please address.
They could have a tornado or something in Ambridge. Then Hazel is like, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West. She sort of lies
twirling
flattened
around.
under the shop with her sort of ruby slippers on or off. That'd be quite fun. Kirsty would be a lovely Dorothy.
She would.
Come on, Toto.
What, the Wizard of Oz? She's so good, isn't she? And she'd put the heart back in every lion. Rex would be actually a very good scarecrow or something, wouldn't he? That could be our next Ambridge on the Couch panto.
Oh, good idea.
The Wizard of Oz, that'd be great. There's parts for everyone.
Okay, I'm making
David
notes.
Would, I bet David would be the Wizard of Oz. Ruth could be like Glinda or something.
Rewilding is Oz, because when you actually get there, it's just a bloke, one bloke behind a curtain and no one understands what the bloody hell he's doing.
Oh, this is going to be good. I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait for this. Can't wait. What else?
If I was Alice and I found out that my father had moved my ex-husband in, with whom I have a somewhat contentious relationship, next door without telling me, I would go through the effing roof.
I don't know about that, Lucy, because I know you took the Michael out of them, but I too was quite concerned about the stairs and Martha. And I think it's a very sensible idea to get them away from those stairs, if there's no stair gate on it, and put them in a cottage.
Yes, but why is he talking to...
Neil?
Yeah.
No, well, yeah.
Why is he treating... Why does everyone treating them as if they're teenagers?
No, yeah, but you know why he's doing it, obviously. You know why he's doing it.
Well, and to get Chris on side so that Chris doesn't make a fuss about the money.
Yes, and he has to sort of pretend to everybody. He's sort of, you know, asserting the fact that he's doing this out of the kindness of his heart and for Martha's sake and everything. So I think that's why he's sort of, you know, with Neil, he was...
But then why isn't he telling Chris? And why on earth isn't he asking his daughter if that's okay?
But why wouldn't it be okay for Alice? Because they're next door.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be a problem for Alice. They've got a... but again...
I wouldn't like somebody watching when I was coming and going and what I was doing and if I was seeing anybody new, them coming in and out. And...
I don't know how close the holiday cottages are. Are they like... Is it like a caravan park?
Can you
I don't know. I've never...
The Aldridge is having a caravan park.
Well, if they can make money out of it, then yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah. No, I don't know. Well, in my head, they're like a sort of a close of, oh, that's a proper old-fashioned clock.
I know. I'm in the countryside.
Oh, ding, ding. Yes. I think that's... And also...
I don't think... Well, Chris isn't going to like it, I don't think. I think he might kick up a fuss because he's like, I don't want my life to, I sort of have nothing to do with the Aldridges now. I make the, I decide what's best for us.
Yes. Well, and, I think he might perceive it as being bought off by Brian, which is exactly what it is, as you said.
Yes, exactly. Chris might just see through this.
Yeah.
But then also Brian needs to sort of hold back and concentrate his powers on making sure Alice agrees to mediation and that it all gets resolved amicably because, you know, so far so good.
I hope that flippin' solicitor isn't in it again.
Oh my gosh, she's a bit annoying, isn't she? So why do they always make... Why is it that solicitors, police people...
Any professionals.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Nurses, midwives.
They're so softly spoken and they have no edge to them.
And there's no personality ever.
No personality. I mean, I know it's not a big part, but still.
Yeah.
It's all a bit softly spoken. And to be honest, if Alice had brought Martha in, I'd have been like, oh, for God, it's been such a long day.
Yeah.
Can you just actually get someone to... I'd have been like, I wouldn't have been like, oh, where did giddy baby? I'd have just like, oh, please don't bring your child to work. I've literally got 5 minutes. We can't run over because I'm so busy. Oh my God, what a cute little baby. Yeah, she is cute. Yeah. I'd have just been pissed off.
Yeah.
That's what they should have written her as a pissed off, like tired person.
Who just
which
says,
is what we all
right,
are.
Okay. So your father's
mediation,
loaded,
Alice.
Okay? So your husband is going to contest for this, and this is what you need to say, and da 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 da.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And put it and do it through mediation. Save yourself a lot of stress. But clearly, it is going to start out fine, but it's going to end up absolute nightmare, isn't it?
And it will either be Brian or Jenny that causes the absolute nightmare. They'll do something because they always do.
Yeah.
They cannot. They cannot keep their beaks out, those two.
No.
Oh, William is now standing in the window, shrugging his shoulders. What? You can't do it. No.
I'm not surprised.
Is it properly upside down? Okay.
Poor boy.
Oh, it's gone now. Okay. Thank you, Will.
Getting back in front of Netflix. No, but because you could hear the hint of it starting when she went, when Alice sort of went, oh, well, you know, the divorce is all my fault anyway. And then she went, it's the addiction's fault or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah, so the seeds might finally be sown into Alice that this isn't all her fault. She shouldn't, you know, she does have to think about custody.
Yeah. It'll be custody, not money, that she goes for.
Yeah, totally.
Because
she's
an Aldridge. There'll always be money. She doesn't.
Yeah.
She doesn't need that.
But also, it's like, well, Chris, I suppose, has been the primary carer for many months now. So she
must. And she has put Martha in danger before.
And also Martha's nearly one, and Alice is only just taken to sort of looking after her properly.
Yeah.
And then when Neil was like, oh, Alice has been a godsend this week, I was like, well, she is Martha's mum.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now
I'm surprised that.
Yeah, it is. But it's also odd that through this whole year, there hasn't been more sort of like, okay, we need to think about the future. We need to. If I was Susan, I'd sort of have been worrying about, you know, when Alice does recover, is this going to lead to a huge custody battle? And so I think like the divorce is one thing, but it's the custody battle that's going to be painful.
Well, I think they're all because Alice immediately defaults into the apologist position, which is exactly what she did with the solicitors. And I think they're all just trundling on, assuming that she's always going to be in the apologist position.
But
at some point, she's going to go, no, hang on a minute. I've done my time. You know, I'm OK now.
Yeah. And, but also, that's the thing. That's why Chris has been so panicked and anxious, because suddenly Alice has got Martha and he's like, oh, hang on a minute. This doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting and it'll be boring. I mean, no, not boring, but it'll be painful, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we think at the socialising thing, the speed nothing, whatever it was.
The talk to someone you know already.
Yeah, talk to your neighbour that you've lived next to for 15 years.
Just go to the pub.
Yeah.
Sit at a table.
Pay to go to the pub. Did you think that Amy, what was all that? Because one minute Alice was saying to Rex, oh, you should ask Amy out.
Yeah.
And he said, no, thank you. I don't fancy her.
Yeah, I know, that was awkward.
But thank you very much for the offer. It's very kind. Very, very kind. Thank you. But no, thank you. It was like someone going, no, I'm completely full.
Yeah,
when you've been offered
helpings
of something that wasn't very nice. No, you couldn't manage another thing.
He was.
But did we still think... Because when she was talking to Rex about his ideal night and he said... somebody that you don't need to try with. And I thought, you're not thinking of Chris, surely, because that was one of the most awkward exchanges I've ever heard. You're not relaxing Chris at all.
No, but she was, I think. No, that was what was weird about that their conversation was Amy was talking about hers or something, and then Rex hadn't even been asked what his was, and then he just basically went off on a monologue.
He just decided
without
to
even...
tell everybody.
And she was like... But you just said this wasn't a question we were going to talk about. Okay, all right. I'll just let you speak. Okay. Thank you. Where's the bell? she was.
Ding ding, Adam. Let's go.
I had completely switched off at the point that they were having. I just switched off for that whole episode, actually.
Yeah.
But I switched off. I didn't really hear what Amy was saying, but I assumed it was about her and Chris.
Yeah. Well, it was. Yeah. But you're right, though. I mean, Amy and Rex are a good couple in that
they are.
They just uncharisma each other.
And they uncharisma each other, and they both don't do anything.
Yeah.
They just sort of
aimless
float around.
Jellyfish. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, you know Rex in the Rewilding.
Yeah.
But he's got his pigs.
I heard them at Glastonbury. Rex in the Rewilding. he has got his pigs. Yes.
Hmm. So, what is difficult about this rewilding job, whatever it is that there are other... Like, he was like, oh, Kate thinks she can just do it with her... But Rex has another business.
Well, he has two. He's a minicab driver and the pigs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it can't
anyway,
be that difficult.
But he keeps forgetting that he's got the pigs.
Yes.
Doesn't he?
I think Lizzie's just
looking
them and things.
I know. Who's cleaning them out?
They're
maybe
like
they're very clean, aren't they?
With little matchstick legs by now.
Lizzie's just killed them all. What, these things?
Them.
Oh, I just thought they were
wild things that needed culling.
Sorry, I thought they were wild sausages, so I shot them.
Freddie was really hungry, and Vince said he had room in his van to the abattoir, so I chucked him in. And
do you like my new handbag? It's pigskin.
Yeah, she's like a Roald Dahl character, yeah, isn't she?
Cruella de Vil or someone like that. Yeah. I know that's not Roald Dahl, but no. Yes. Well, so the upshot and outcome is mm-hmm. that Kirsty's not leaving. Yes?
No.
Good.
Okay, I bet you she's not.
Okay. Yeah. No, don't well, bet we me both, because we, I, want, we, I want you to
no,
be right.
We both
and if
bet
I bet you,
not.
Then I'll have a vested interest in her leaving and I don't want her to.
If she is leaving, can I just say, if anyone's listening who's working on the Archers, I could do the impressions.
Yeah, she doesn't
just
need to
get
leave.
Back again. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So even if she's leaving to Coronation Street, you could take over the role.
People
of
would just be like, she sounds a bit more manly than she used to.
Just so she's got a cold.
Yeah, because basically that's just how I make my voice sound like Kirsty. Because
like
she's got a brilliant voice. Yeah. But when I first did my voice reel, I must have told you this, like 100 million years ago, and I went to some random guy in somewhere random out of London to do it, to do a voice show reel. And I had a really bad cold. And I was doing sort of like, he made me do like, because he was a bit me too, I think. He made me do sort of like, you know, sexy voiceover. And after one of them, he went, oh, my God, you sound just like... this girl, yeah, this girl who plays Kirsty in The Archers.
Ah.
And it's because I had a cold. So I sort of, I don't know how I sounded, but it's weird. When I listened back, I did, because I was a bit husky and, yeah, doing a sort of husky, sexy voice.
Ah.
Yeah, and it was a terrible showreel. He went out of business about a month later. It was awful. He just liked inviting young girls over to his pad, I think, to, yeah. Okay, I think your voice would sound much better if you took your bra off, actually. really? Okay.
Thank you.
Hope he's not listening. Oh. He was a very nice man.
Would you like to uncrick your back and I'll do the emails?
Thank you.
It's all yep. right.
Okay, I'm relaxing now.
Okay, take your bra off. Elizabeth Bartle said, I hope Harriet found the maps I sent useful. Recent
Thank
episodes
you,
of The Archers have made me look at them myself. This is because of the frequent references to takeaways. But as I thought, there are no takeaway restaurants in Ambridge or in the locale. Yet 2 weeks ago, we had poor Leonard finding three takeaway places to go to. And tonight, Chris offered Amy a selection of menus to choose from. I wholeheartedly agree that it was extremely rude of the Brookfield Archers children not to eat with Leonard, and pathetic that their useless parents didn't remind them of their manners. Also, if someone offers to get a takeaway, you get it from the same place, not three different ones. Anyway, I digress. My friends who live in the countryside always complain about the lack of takeaway options. A fish and chip van once a week, and an Indian or Chinese in the nearest town, if they're lucky. This is all getting very silly and unrealistic. Just a typical week in Ambridge. Elizabeth. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
agree.
I think it was the reason it was three different takeaways was because Leonard, God love the man, was determined that everybody should have exactly what they wanted. And being awkward buggers and selfish, they didn't all say, no, we'll all just get fish and chips, it's fine. They all said, oh, no, actually, oh, good. Well, then actually, I do want Mongolian hot pot or something.
Exactly, because they have no, they can't think about other people.
Yes.
They live in a bubble.
Yes. Right. Catherine Palazzola, who says we're not allowed to talk her,
Ciao.
Call her Catherine because it reminds her of her granny, so we have to call her Katie. I've just remembered.
Caterina.
Your last show was pure gold. On Sunday, baby Giuseppina was taking a nap on top of me. She is teething. I could not stop laughing at you three and was so worried I was going to wake her with my jiggling about. Two plot predictions. Baby Martha custody battle. Yup. Got that one?
Yeah.
We've got that on the bingo. Oh, a bin bag's just gone flying past the window. Sorry. And
it's going to be your wheelie bin next, I promise.
Or the cat. Two, Chris, Amy, Rex love triangle. Although I can only hope they throw Stella or someone in to spice things up. Otherwise, it will be a total and utter yawn-making bore of bores.
Yeah.
Also, can Krusty please get the rewelding job and not Kate? Well, no, Catherine, apparently. Katie, I mean, no.
Well, maybe.
But
maybe, yes.
Maybe, as Pip would say. Maybe.
Maybe, Rex. Pete. What's it called again? Maybe, Rosie.
Rosie. And she says, thank you for connecting all the American listeners. It's been a delight. Hooray.
Yay.
I just sent another one over into the America queue yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, do you know what he's called it? What Joshua's called it? Oh, in fact, I can read you the email. You know, I said, oh, it's disappeared. Oh,
Merrybridge.
No, I said a Merrybridge, which was, you were very kind and said, oh, that's good.
I liked it.
Well, it's crap compared with Amside, which is what he's called it.
Amside?
Yes.
That's like, yes. What's Lillian's company
yes.
called?
Amside, yes. Yes. Oh. Yes, that's much better.
Well, I like both, to be fair.
You're very diplomatic. But yes, so, and
Amside, woo, yeah.
So yeah, it's Joshua is in charge of that.
Sounds more American, doesn't it? Merrybridge sounds like it's set in the Cotswolds, but Amside, so it's got an edge on it. Yeah. Yeah.
So Joshua Yoda is in charge of that, and he's doing very well at it all. So well done, Joshua. Good boy.
Can't wait to come for our first visit.
Yeah.
Yes, the Amside, what is it? Like tea party or something.
Mm. What?
I was trying to think of like an American
event. Like the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah, that's all I could think of. Literally, so there's been so many American events and the only one I could think of was the Boston Tea Party. Because I must have had another life in 1865. It's because I'm recording out of a vintage suitcase.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm living my, you know, like those books, you know, like those Penelope Lively books where you step into, you know, you go back in time.
Yes.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
Barry Stephen says, I am missing Harriet's beautiful singing, but she does know that you can get a guitar tuner on your phone now.
Yes, thank you. I know how to tune a guitar. I just never have time before the podcast or during.
But you said last time, it is being tuned, as if you'd, like, you know, dry cleaning, you'd sent it out to be tuned or something.
I just taken it into the house to put my, I've actually got one of those guitar tuners that you put on the top of it. You clip it to the guitar and then you, it's really good. And then you press the, you do the string. And then it goes, green when it's in tune.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what you mean. Yes, I do. Sorry, the greenhouse just moved past the window, and I was a bit anxious. Oh,
exactly. You're completely not listening.
I am listening. It's a thing that goes green when it's in tune. I was listening.
Yeah, but you don't know how to tune a guitar, do you?
Yes.
What? You don't play the guitar?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes,
I do. Are you joking? You don't.
No,
you do not.
I do.
You play the guitar?
Yes.
Why have you never played it then?
Because I'm not a massive show-off.
Do you actually genuinely play the guitar?
Yes, but classical, not what you do.
I didn't know you did play the guitar.
Well, there you go. Life is full of surprises.
But you still play it?
On occasion, yes. I'm very, very, very rusty now.
What? So you were you like a child guitar player?
Yes.
Ooh. Prodigy?
No, not remotely.
Do you play Jay-Z's Joy of Man's Desiring?
Probably.
That's what I used to play.
It's like everybody that ever played the recorder always played Cuckoo Song. It was.
Or what was the other one called? No, what was that recorder one? That one, we used to play that in recorders.
And then everyone had to stop and go
what it's called.
To suck all the
eye level. It's called eye level, isn't it?
Is it? That just reminds me of the Horse of the Year show.
Yeah, or Ski Sunday or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, I think it was called eye level. I'm going to have to look it up. Oh my God. So, I can't believe you played the guitar.
Oh my God.
You can play the guitar next time and I'll sing
no
along.
No way.
You are gonna play your guitar on
I
this
am
podcast.
Not. If and it's that's the last definitely thing we not do. Tuned. It's a long off, it's years since it's gone green.
Well, get one of those, have you got one of those green things?
No.
Oh,
I just
get
do
one,
it by, you know, when you put your finger on the fret and then.
Yes, I do that. I know how to tune a guitar.
Yeah, I know you
let's
know.
Get back to the, let's get back to the podcast. I'm sending you a tuning fork.
Oh, God.
Bum, ba. And we are going to have a guitar off.
No, we are not. What, like dueling banjos, but you and me and a guitar. It's not a competition. It's fine.
Is it? Of course it's a competition. Of course it is, now I found out. what's the latest then with the greenhouse?
William's now inside it trying to hold it down.
Oh my God. It's going to be there all day.
It just blew past the window as I was...
Oh man.
Anyway.
Could it go into your neighbours?
Yes, that's why I'm asking him to brick
scary.
It down.
Scary.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
I expect he's bricking it.
Rob Williams has messaged us and said, because we said last week that Krusty was too smart for Roy, and he pointed out that a Bridge Farm yoghurt is too smart for Roy. Poor Roy. This is from Steve, who says, I have been a follower of Ambridge on the Couch since its inception.
sort of sounds rude, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. He especially liked the occasional songs. Ruth's, I think, is my favourite of all time. Is there any chance of a reprieve?
Wow! Which one?
Steve, encourage
but wait,
her.
Are you talking about that original one that I did?
Yes.
Which was my favourite too.
Yes.
It's my all-time favourite piece of work that I've ever made.
The country.
Thanks
was
so
it a country
much.
And western one?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I loved doing that, and I feel like I didn't really get the praise it deserved, Lucy.
Would you like to do it again next week, maybe?
Do you want me to do it live?
Yes.
If I tune my guitar?
Yes. Because also, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very, very sorry, but I have once again completely forgotten to get the... Well, I haven't forgotten. I just can't find all the Patreon names and the other names. I know they're there somewhere. I just don't know where they are. As soon as I find them... Oh, God, the greenhouse is off again.
We'll do a...
As soon as I found them...
We'll do a musical medley.
Yes.
Them.
Involving... Yeah. There'll
you
be country and western songs. I am
there'll
not playing my guitar. No.
Yes.
No. Oh, God. Right. Yes. So, Steve says, being a huge Archers fan, recording it off the radio before podcasts were even a thought, my first big story was Susan harbouring her brother after the robbery. That was Clive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Blimey, that makes me feel very old, he says. Makes you feel old. Ha! Huh. a few thoughts. Chris and Amy will have an affair, but Alice and Chris will realise they still love each other.
Yeah.
And this will be what finally pushes them back together as a family before the divorce becomes final.
Agree.
Adam
totally agree.
Will take over Phoebe's role in the Rewilding project.
Oh!
Never thought of him.
That's
how
amazing.
Come we are thinking of people and Rex, who is actually doing it in the village, still can't think of anybody.
Because I think you're fine, Lucy. It's not that he hasn't thought of them. He just hopes that everyone will apply down the official route.
From the...
They can download the application form
off
online.
The post-it note that he stuck to the church door. Yeah.
That is a great prediction about Adam.
Is. That means Peggy can have her favourite grandchild looking after her investment, and it gives him a proper management role. I like that one.
Yeah.
Big store on the horizon will be Inheritance of Brookfield with that one. Yes, yeah. Likely to run and run for absolutely months. I foresee lots of family fallouts and inter-family arguments. Plus ça change. It'll keep the main Archer family front of the drama for ages and set the scene for the next generation as the story of David and his siblings inheriting the farm did last time round.
They are basically like the royals, aren't they?
They are. Yes, apart from slightly less creepy.
Yeah, I mean, I would sort of, because I would have cast sort of Kenton in the Prince Andrew role, but not to that sort of horrible extent.
Mm. Just maybe one of the archers can give somebody 12 million quid just to prove that they never met them. That, you know, could happen.
They would. They
would
do.
Yeah. Another Americano, this is Alexandra, who lives in Seattle. She
Hi
says,
there.
We have, you don't know how to do a Seattle accent, do you?
Well, I was just doing generic,
okay.
Generic nonsense.
We have lived in the Seattle area for almost 7 years, bit of a shock from sleepy old Suffolk. I can only do the Suffolk accent if I've had a few, which is highly unlikely these days with a 10-month-old. You make our lives sunny in Seattle's very grey skies and make things that bit more bearable. Coping with a little one in these highly dysfunctional times. I first got the husband into the Archers over 20 years ago while we were at university. He could not understand my heightened sense of emotion as Jenny Darling found out about Brian and Siobhan. We love listening to the podcast and wish you a very speedy recovery, Lucy. Thank you, I'm better now. I'm surprised the 1910 hospital did not prescribe you with a trip to the seaside and a brisk walk on the prom. Wouldn't that have been lovely? Or sent me to Switzerland, sent me to the Alps to have a hotel with a balcony where I could sit out in a chair.
You could have gone to a sanatorium.
Yes.
Oh, Lucy, you didn't milk it enough.
I'd love a sanatorium. It sounds great.
Oh, I sort of like their life from going from, like, Suffolk to Seattle. Mm. That sounds quite illiterate, doesn't it? And sweet and cosy. I wonder why they made that move.
I don't know. Alexandra, can you now message us again and tell us why you left Suffolk?
I'm really interested in their love story from university to Suffolk to Seattle. It has a sort of like American rom-com ring about it, doesn't it?
Are you Meg Ryan, Alexandra?
Cute!
Anyway, she says, is harassment the new Cliff Richard? God,
totes.
Help us all.
Congratulations in silver.
Congratulations. It would be quite the same, wouldn't it?
Hey, come on, everybody. Anybody know how to tune me guitar?
You wait till that goes green.
Harrison, wait till it goes green. Green, Harrison.
Stop fiddling with it, Harrison. Yes, and that's it for the emails. Thanking you.
Thank you. My back had a lovely, cosy stretch.
Stretch?
Yes, a little bit. I kept leaning in like this, though, to comment. I feel like I haven't been entirely focused this podcast. So it's probably good we didn't mention any Patreons.
Yes.
In case they're regretting their their kind, generous donations.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I'm just looking at the tree out of the window.
Oh, God, you're so unfocused, Lucy. You're worse than me.
Next door's tree is now level with the ground. It's bent over so far. It's parallel with the ground.
Oh, my God.
And something, I don't know what, has just whizzed across the roof of the house and is now stuck.
Are you sure it's not William?
It's stuck. It's a big flappy thing, which could be William, admittedly. It's stuck in the oak tree next door.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to worry about it because I don't know what it is. So
no, I don't. Look, as long as your house is insured, you'll be okay.
Yes,
is your greenhouse insured?
Quote, all across this stuff. No, my greenhouse is not insured.
You're going to have Sheila's wheels driving up at your door any time now.
Oh, good to do, Febreze.
Oh, yeah.
And now let's tune into BBC Radio Borsetshire and have a listen to Febreze's Drive Time Show.
Radio Borsetshire. I am sorry, I just think it is disgusting. What kind of animal put kedgeree in the office microwave? Eggy and fishy, and it smells so bad it might just as well have a poo in the... Yes, yes, Colin, I can see the red light, yes. I am seeing the hang of it all now. Hello, hello, this is Febreze of Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today is a big step into a new direction, dear listeners, not just for you, but also for Febreze. Today Febreze will be talking about the sports. Normally there is a lady that talks about the sports. I think she is a lady anyway. She always walk very fast everywhere in tracksuit with a big North Face jacket, and she talk about the rugby and the football. But today she is ill, as she spent all Saturday with the Borchester women's kickboxing team and she pulled something. So now she is in bed and my producer Colin, he say, can Febreze cover the sport? I say, no. Do not be silly, Colin, I say. He say, it is okay, it is nice sport, like sledging. So I say, oh, good. I had a very nice time in Verbier several years ago, so I know all about winter sport and Olympics. So let me update you on the snowy Olympics. We have not done so good, but we have not been told off for drugs, so that is better than some others I could mention, but I will not, because I am a bit scared. The British men team have been doing curlers, which is very old-fashioned, and it is like very, very fast mopping. I say to Kelly Marie in the salon, Kelly Marie, look how fast they do sweeping up. And she say, well, it's good for them because they have a nice clean ice rink and not a room full of air with bits of Sabrina Thwaites umami roll in it or what is left when Shula have been in for a wax. There is also speed skating to watch when they go zhoosh very quick with alien heads on stroking the floor. And also bobsleigh, which is when they all squash into little boat, all very jammed in together. It is like too many people in the back of the Uber after gay night at Jack's. All knees everywhere, but usually no one is sick or shout that they want Kentucky Fried Chicken. There is ice hockey, when men in masks hit each other with sticks. Oh, that sounds like a very strange evening I spent in Berlin once with my friend Heinrich. But I did not know it was a sport, although he did get a clap. Also, figures skating, that is my second favourite. It is like slippy Zumba, and the men wave the ladies about and the ladies try not to kick them in the head with the sharp bits, while the men have their hands up their bottoms. It is very funny, but my favourite is closing ceremony. That is when they all have to march around in a circle, waving. I think if Fabrice did Snow Olympics, that is what he would win. So, that is it. It is on BBC, the Snow Olympics, and I can recommend it. To get into the spirit of it, it is best to watch while you are drinking hot wine in a little glass which burn your fingers and probably with a broken leg. Goodbye, goodbye. Colin, can we make sure this sports lady is coming back? I am completely under my depth.
Radio Borsetshire.
Oh, talking of Feb, have we got 500 reviews yet?
I don't know. You're all across that.
I did a call to action. I don't know how. I think we might have two more.
Two more.
Anyway.
Oh, well, that's
two more. So we're a fifth of the way there, Lucy.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
a
you,
fifth?
February. Well, we need to get 500, and I think we've got like.
Well, how is two a fifth of the way to 500?
What?
Oh,
no,
my God.
Oh, my God. Is that the wind?
Yeah.
Have you just opened the window?
No, I'm inside
and all
the windows closed.
Oh, my God. You should come to the New Forest. It's not like that down here.
Something just shot off, but I'm not quite sure what it was. Anyway, keep talking.
I think you need to go outside and make sure all your animals are safely inside.
Everybody's safe except me, who is sitting in a log cabin at the end of a garden under a rotting oak tree.
I will laugh if your log cabin
blows away.
Takes off like one of those wheelie bins. But the good, as we were saying earlier, the publicity it would gain for this podcast would be immense.
Shall I pretend that I record in the greenhouse and that I blew across the garden?
Yes, and then get The Guardian to do a piece on it or something.
My Greenhouse Hell by Lucy Freeman. Lucy V. Freeman.
My Greenhouse Archer's Hell.
My
Greenhouse
Amber.
Okay. So, thank you, Febreze. putting the breeze in Febreze. If you visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch. I like the fact this has got very specific now. So if you visit patreon.com.
Don't just sponsor any old shite. You are supposed to actually sponsor us, not, you know.
Make sure you Google.
Yeah.
But there are some very other very good podcasts are available. Look up Ambridge on the Couch and you can support us at any subscription level and we will love you.
Good.
I'm rattling through now because I can hear children.
You can find us on Facebook, come up. On Twitter, at on Ambridge, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
I'm sure they catch the human talk. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, especially to all the sound effects in the background. Good luck, everybody. I hope nobody's been too seriously affected by the storm.
Yes.
Any hilarious storm anecdotes, please send them in. Any horrible ones, I'm just really sorry about them. Well, there will be some.
There
will be some terrible tragedies.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the meantime, segueing from terrible tragedies.
What's this week's
I'm going to
theme.
Tell you. This week's theme from Matt Rodriguez Payne. If I say to you, think of a sort of a black and red screen and a fire, flickering fire, and a lady prancing around in the nip in front of it, you could just see her silhouette. Does that make you think of anything?
The first thing that came to mind was Bagpuss.
What? What sort of Bagpuss were you watching? There isn't a fire in Bagpuss.
Yes, there is, isn't there?
No.
Oh, isn't there?
No.
Just some purring. Mm. Lady in the Nip? Can you give me another clue?
To do with Roald Dahl. You'll
what?
Say
Matilda?
You'll say it's... you're too what? Young to remember.
I'm just too young, Lucy. What
okay.
is it?
Tales of the Unexpected.
I'm too young.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You might recognise it. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ring any bells? No.
No. But I felt like I could have played it on my recorder, which
yes.
is good.
Yes. So I was
it.
Swaying backwards and forwards.
Yeah. And with my vintage suitcase studio setup, it was all quite fitting and adorable.
It was Tales of the Unexpected was it sort of verged on the creepy. It was quite sinister.
Oh, right.
So there was one that I loved about a woman who beat her husband to death with a frozen leg of lamb. And then the policeman that came round to investigate it, she cooked the leg of lamb and served it up to them, and then ate the evidence.
Oh, yes. Was it Roald Dahl?
Yes, he
oh,
wrote
right.
some
wow.
of them. Whether all of them or not, I don't know. But
well, and then they went on telly.
Yeah, they were short stories, short sort of.
Oh wow, cool.
Short creepy stories.
No, it was great. It was a gorgeous piece of music.
It's a very. It's like an old fashioned steam carousel thing, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's so lovely.
Yes. Yes, aww. Very vintage, and goes with your suitcase.
Goes with my suitcase. I'm going to post a picture of my suitcase so that everybody understands what I'm talking about.
You
not,
see,
I'm not
ladies and gentlemen, other podcasts might be slick and a bit more funky, but do they post pictures of suitcases?
Well,
do
yeah, they
hell?
No, but this is quite cute, I think. I
yes.
think you'll enjoy. I think you'll like. I think it's quite nice to give the listeners some context sometimes.
Yes.
Because if only, Lucy, we were side by side on a comfy studio sipping wine.
Well,
oh
if we
God,
were side by side, then I wouldn't be sitting here watching my greenhouse fly around the garden.
No, anyway, I'll tell you about the Posh podcast next time.
The Posh
Poshest podcast. You, honestly, it's. I thought it was a joke, but it's just the poshest podcast in the world.
What's it
it's
about?
It's like girls from Made in Chelsea talking about wine.
Oh, God.
And it's literally Lucy like this, like, oh my gosh, let's open the bar. But it's like a really popular podcast and they obviously are having a brilliant time. And no, it's really interesting and good, but it's not really, it's just, I was just surprised that people that posh are allowed to do it.
Hey marketers, advertisers and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places using the same old lines. Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.